listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
My screen. Can you guys, let's see if you can see this. Share screen. Okay. Can you see my screen?
Yep.
Yes.
That's scary.
That's scary.
Can you see this?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Here's a leaked message. Here's a leaked message that was allegedly going to the press. Who knows if it's real or not? But we're gonna read it.
We're gonna read it.
You guys can see all that?
Yes. But it's not really real.
Hey, you need a headset, man. Your echo is terrible, man. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Turn your volume down because you're feeding back. Say, did you not have a headset? I thought we went through this. I want to really try and get good sound here and there, you know? Okay. So you guys, Daniel, can you read that?
Just read it. Yeah, I can.
Okay, let's read it. Looks like Biden's COVID-19 executive orders are starting to show up online, leaked from the press organizations that have been sent copies in advance of the media blitz. Now, I don't know if this is last week's memo or he's got something new coming in, but this one's pretty rude. This year, the unvaccinated are ineligible for Social Security, SSI disability, federal extended unemployment assistance, COVID rent assistance, employment placement, or training. You are going to be assessed a special tax, roughly 15% of your income if you're unvaccinated, to cover substantial federal medical costs. Some of this sounds like BS, but you never know. It says here, the unvaccinated are no longer free to partake of interstate travel by vehicle or federal roadways. Okay, so you can't use the interstate, so you got to cross over with just a state road. Okay. The unvaccinated are no longer free to travel by air, either domestically or internationally. TSA will enforce that all ports of entry. So that's why they created the TSA, by the way. In case anyone was confused on that. You guys still there?
Yep.
Are you still seeing the screen?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm not speaking, only listening.
Okay, good. Okay, let's go back to the screen. We've already heard this part. Any employer that does any business with the federal government will be required to show 100% vaccine compliance from the workforce by October 31st, Halloween. Any business that cannot or will not comply will have faced substantial fines and potential revocation of any federal contracts. Well, the United States is a military nation, so you can imagine all the federal contractors that are involved there. We're talking a big chunk of their GDP. Any employer-sponsored health insurer is free from liability and can drop any unvaccinated persons from their policies or deny coverage based on vaccination status. Well, hospitals are given legal immunity. Hold on a sec, this is cut off. Making them... Hold on, guys. Making them free to prioritize or deny health care based upon vaccination status. Wow. How's that for nuts? I just stopped sharing the screen.
How's the sound now? Is it better?
Yeah, it's better. Yeah. Something okay. In the background now making noise.
I have some kind of headphones now. This with the coverage of the insurance, health insurance, they tried it in Germany also, but it's of course unconstitutional.
Yeah. Well, everything is unconstitutional until someone challenges it. So that's the problem.
But what is your thought about that it is being leaked exactly now, you know? Because in Germany there are elections on Sunday. In France they had to backtrack with some regulations because of the resistance. There were major results of some abductions of alleged COVID deaths, which were because of the injections, and all the situation is a little bit of that kind that I think it is because they are losing, that they are now threatening, you know, with the next steps. It's to break the morale of the resistance, I think.
Well, they're going for all the marbles now. That's how I look at it. How do you look at it? They're going for broke.
There was today, there was a press conference of a German Institute of Pathology, which was researching alleged deaths after the vaccination or the injections. And there was another team from Austria, which is a bigger network of about 5,000 renowned, internationally networked biologists and pathologists and whatever, professors, etc., from the resistance. And they presented, it's going to be in English soon, but today it was only in German. They presented also results about this alleged material, graphene oxide, which is possibly contained in some of the tranches of the production of the stuff. And they presented really deeply well analyzed from the real, you know, professors there at the Institute of Pathology, the results of what these injections have done to those who died because of these injections. That it's a big catalog of effects, which this one professor who has conducted 40,000 approximately 40,000 abductions in his whole professional career, he said from time to time, I have never seen such thing in my whole experience. You know, there were some stuff inside the analyzed, by biological material, from particular organs of the people, etc. And they had also the images. It's really horrific if you watch it. I will post it as soon as it is available in English. But I think this is a big game changer. Because now it's not possible to hide it any. It's the first time that you have real studies and results from universities and official professionals, which are, you know, some old guys of German universities and Austrian universities, which are telling you, hey, this is just killing your immune system, it's destroying the heart tissue. Pardon?
Can you see on my screen?
Yes, I see a pink. Yeah, a pink brain.
That's my new idea. I think all the people that are fighting the vaccine should wear this on their lapel, and they should hashtag pink.
Why?
Pink is a very generic. Well, a pink brain is a healthy brain. So if you wear a pink brain label, I think the unvaccinated are the smartest people left standing on Earth. I didn't realize, but there's a word for that. We call us the pure bloods. The pure bloods. Apparently that's from Harry Potter, my wife tells me.
Okay.
There's the pure bloods and the mud bloods.
Okay.
So my idea is we print out this little picture on our color printer and put it on our, pin it on our lapel. And
good
then
idea.
Fake11.com/pink.
Yeah, better than a yellow star.
That's what I said. What do you think of that? You want to see if you can print that out? What do you think, Daniel?
Yeah, that's a pretty cool idea. I've heard ideas like that in, like, years and years ago about people who are, you know, alternative thinkers. We're all wearing, I think at one time it was everybody should wear a paperclip. But I don't think it took off, so... I don't know how successful it'll be, but it's an interesting idea.
Yeah, I don't either, but it's worth a try. It's worth a try.
Well, I was thinking, because from now on in Victoria, the unvaccinated can't go and get a haircut. So I'm thinking you'll be able to identify them by the poor quality of the haircut their mum gave them.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be lots of ways. So, what's the mood among the pure bloods in Victoria? Is there any hope in their minds? Are they going to fight this to the end? What do you think?
Well, that seems to come down to what their metaphysical assumptions are overall about the universe. So, what I mean by that is you've got, you know, the people I know who have some kind of faith-based to their life, you know, they believe in something more than just this world. They're, a lot of them are kind of hopeful in their own way. Other people, I would say, are getting a bit desperate because, you know, all their hope kind of is in this world in terms of it is their source of security, you know, which is the biggest manipulation we have. Is that if you don't fear God, then all you fear is death. So if they get you with the fear of death, they've got you.
Okay. That's interesting. I take it you're God fearing.
Well, I try to be.
Of all the platforms, just to talk tech for a bit, do you prefer Telegram?
I've barely used Telegram. This is one of the first times I've ever really turned it on. I joined because a couple of friends were on it, and I hooked up with the Fakeologist and a couple of other channels. But I don't know. I get very busy on my computer, and I stopped using Discord and other social media for a while. So this is one of my first times on Telegram. It's pretty cool. I kind of prefer Discord because you can type as well. I actually prefer typing to talking. Because I get to think a bit more about what I want to say.
Yeah. Are you using Telegram on your computer or your phone?
My PC, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's cool. So when I share my screen, you probably see a small screen on your PC.
Yeah, I see a small window, yeah.
Wow. Nice. How long have you been?
How's your family? How's your daughter?
Sorry?
I said, how is your family and how are your daughters doing with their studies, etc.? And their health, of course.
I think you're asking me.
I'm asking you up, or can't you hear me?
I got you. Well, everyone's waiting for the next shoe to drop.
Okay.
Quack sports start tomorrow.
So, yeah, that's the thing. They've got us on their timeline, and we're kind of very reactive, you know.
Yeah.
I think also a lot of the information out there is deliberately designed to kind of clog up the communication lines and waste our time. And I don't know. It's a bit sad, but. In terms of, like, the sort of information war, I feel like we're kind of losing it.
Yeah. Well, we don't have the resources, and my God. So what is this big push? What is the rush to get everyone vaccinated? What's your take, Daniel?
Well, I'm not sure, because I was thinking about this, and let's say Joe Biden, you know, I've been on the net for a long time into conspiracy since the 90s, and what I've been hearing the whole time almost is this depopulation agenda, right? That they're going to depopulate the world. But you think about it. If Biden mandates vaccines for his entire government workforce, would it really make sense for him to kill all them off? Would it really make sense to kill off the police? Would it really make sense to kill off all your doctors and nurses? Would it really make sense to kill off, you know, your military? No, it wouldn't. So I don't think it's a depopulation thing personally. I think it's largely about control, but I think it's going to take time to see what the long-term effects of the vaccination are. There could be something to it, like it could be some kind of disease-causing agent, or, you know, I don't go in for the you know, nanobot activated by 5G disinformation stuff. I think a lot of that's very silly. I don't think it's a gene therapy. I see no evidence that it's a gene therapy, and I get frustrated with that being constantly posted everywhere, that it's a that it's going to alter your DNA. I see no evidence for that. You may as well say it's got pink unicorns in it, because there's as much evidence for that as well. You know, so it's a full-on mystery.
Is there any evidence there's even genes or DNA? Because I don't think so.
Well, to determine that, you would have to do some serious research into the history of the discovery of DNA and stuff like that. I think DNA makes sense. I think it's a logical conclusion, and the reason they searched for an information-based molecule in the cell makes a lot of sense when you look at the history of how they work their way through the discovery of first the actual cell and then the inner workings of the cell. Like, DNA, to me, makes sense. I can believe that there's an information bearing molecule upon which all the cells are based, and through which cells replicate with passing on the information to rebuild the new cell. That makes sense to me. So I think DNA is probably a pretty true thing.
I don't go look in the history. They're all alchemists. It'll make you laugh.
Well, I mean, for a cell to replicate itself, what do you need? You need machinery to rebuild the cell, and because look, a cell, essentially what they're saying is a cell is like a computer that can build a copy of itself. It's got hardware, the cell, you know, membrane and organelles and the nucleus and everything, and then it's got software, the information that the structure of the cell is based on, and that's contained in the nucleus. That makes perfect sense to me. I don't see why that would be fake. How else are you going to replicate a cell if you don't have the information to rebuild it in your next iteration?
But that's exactly the trick, you know, Daniel. Because may I say something, or is it too bad, my audio?
No, go ahead, my dear.
No, I was just trying to answer to you, Daniel. I agree. The history of the research and the theories and the applications that are, you know, there is much money. There is the big industry. There is DARPA and all this stuff. You know, they are working on this for 80 years now, you know, to transform, you know, or to make it reachable and to make it exploitable, you know, this knowledge about the inner workings of life. But the whole trick is, approximately it works in theory and in experiments or such, but it doesn't work as in nature. It's different.
No.
And the big difference is they present it as if it was replication of nature, but it's just, let's say, it's not nature, and it's more destructive than nature, let's say.
Okay, just a couple of questions. If it's not nature, what is nature, and in what way is it destructive to nature?
That's a big question, and I'm not sure my English is good enough. Okay, do you speak German? No. Guess not. No, you know, what is nature? It's a good question. I will try to give you an image for a comparison with another paradigm, because I cannot take it from the point that you are viewing it. I'll give you a different perspective, if I may. In history of knowledge, we have the phenomenon that ever since the new technological paradigm comes into play, the whole knowledge is reconstructing around this new paradigm. So if you get architecture, then everything seems architectural-like. If you get later written language and alphabet, etc., everything becomes linear and alphabetical. Later, everything becomes visual because you have a painter. Even later, everything becomes like a book. And now today, everything becomes like an information and like a digitalized form of understanding. So it's the opposite.
Can I jump in there for a second?
Yeah, sure.
The idea that information is being passed from one cell to the new replicated cell, the idea of genetics, was developed long, long, long before any computer was ever imagined by Mendel, right, back in the monastery. Okay, and he proved that information was being passed from one generation to the next, and that information was differential depending on how you cross those species over, or those different types of plants. So the basis of the information-based cell system is much older than any information technology.
No, because, you know, when he conducted his experiments with this plants, I don't know the name in English, something like beans, if I remember correctly, there was no definition of information. The definition of information came about 100 years later. It was in 1933 or 4 or 5 maybe. It was the theory of Shannon, if I'm right. And
specified information.
No, it was, you know, it was a whole I'm talking about to experiment with plants. This is the knowledge that humanity has maybe about 12,000 years with a traditional timeline. But the theory about something like information as we understand it today has some predecessors, one of which is linguistics by Ferdinand de Saussure, which was in the early 1905 or 3, I'm not sure, it's around 1905, I think. And then later, 20 years later, came the whole understanding of what we are calling today information. And it was not combined with biology, which was an experimental science, even with this guy in the 19th century, which you are referring to.
So you're claiming that Mendel had no concept that information was being passed from one generation to the next. That's your claim.
Correct. Correct.
Because why are you actually saying that people didn't have a concept of information at that time?
Absolutely.
What did they think?
Yeah.
Are you seriously suggesting that the idea of information wasn't around then?
Of course, and I've studied this stuff, you know.
Well,
and
if somebody informed them of something, what did they think were happening? Didn't they think they were receiving information?
I will give you an example how it was. For example, in 1650, they thought they had an understanding, or a scientific understanding, with arguments that if something is red and you combine it with something that is green, you will get whatever, I don't know, you will get away headaches, you know. They had four categories of similarities and differences between organic forms which are affecting each other, bringing some results. I'm sorry for the English, it's really somehow complicated. But I'm trying to tell you that there were different models of what we call information. Today, information is 0-1. You know, you can make it digital. It is, information is always the package with digitalized, whatever. You know, but this is absolutely new. It's only 80 years old. And
yeah,
it has
binary,
some...
No, well, I don't know. I don't know if you know this, but the binary system was originally discovered in the pattern of the Chinese Pakua ancient symbol. Are you familiar with the Pakua?
No, not really.
Okay, have you been to a Chinese restaurant and they've got that symbol with the broken and unbroken hexagram on the wall, the red lines that are arranged in a hexagram?
I have never noticed it, you know. I love Chinese restaurants, but I don't notice that.
Well,
but anyway, tell me what you're saying.
That's an ancient Chinese symbol.
Yeah.
The binary numerical system is actually encoded within that symbol.
Are you talking about the I Ching?
It's related to the I Ching, but I'm talking about the specific symbol of the Pakua.
Okay, yeah. This is possible, you know, but in the Western...
It's true.
Of course, you know, there are references all around, and maybe, you know, we don't know, maybe this all has been repeated for several times through the millions of years and whatever. But in this new scientific Western paradigm that we are living now for the last at least 800 years, digital information was defined and conceptualized in the 30s of the last century. And before, they had other models, which of course evolved. And just to remind you, in the Gnostic period, which is 200 AC after Christ or whatever, or 300 after Christ, it was a Trinity model of knowledge and comparing of experiences or whatever you call scientific now. You know what I mean? And the third parameter was always imagination. It was subject, object, and imaginative dimension of things. And this third parameter was dropped in 1500, I don't remember the exact year, in a conference in a specific place in French, which I had to look up. I don't remember the names at the moment. I'm actually out of this business. But it's not so long ago, you know. It is an evolution or a growth or simplification maybe of knowledge and concepts about knowledge. And information is new. It's very new. Actually,
I don't know how. Do you know what information means? Because it wasn't written about by a professor of, you know, information technology until recently doesn't mean people didn't have a concept of information until then.
Yes, of course. You know, we differentiate always what we are talking all the day or with friends, etc. I'm now talking about this stuff that is, well, that was used, the theory that was used in order to come to the idea that you can translate organic functions, let's call them functions or living procedures or whatever, into this language. It's a language that was invented, and it was able, because it was abstract, because it was mathematical in essence, it was able to be applied onto several phenomena, one of which is this genomic theory.
Yeah, I don't think that is really relevant. Like, I can see kind of where you're coming from, but Mendel definitely established that there was some kind of information exchange from one generation to the next, and that it could be, you know, managed. Like, it could be, you could do selective breeding. Selective breeding has been around a lot longer than these information theories you're talking about. They knew what they were doing with crossing different animals and plants together to get what they desired. They knew how to do that, which is artificial selection, natural selection under our control. They were doing that ages before there was any information theory you're talking about. Just because it's not codified for a while doesn't mean it's not there as a concept.
Well, that's a philosophical question. If it's now existing, maybe it has existed all the time, and it had to be just discovered. That's one perspective on the thing. The other perspective is it exists because it was created, it was conceptualized. This doesn't make any difference. The point is that you don't have any genomic theory if you don't have mathematics that are able to be applied to biological processes, which we called earlier life. So in the early years or other years or previous years when they were doing selective breeding, it was very efficient, you know. They didn't have so much abortions or, monstrous creations or deaths by vaccines or whatever. It was really efficient because it was natural. It didn't intervene with stuff they didn't know, and that's what they are doing now, in my understanding, applying mathematics on biological life forms. They are speculating, that's what I'm saying. They are speculating that this applies to the molecule of blood or whatever, which doesn't work, because life is not particular, it's very general.
Okay, so how are you suggesting what's going on when genes are passed on, you know, when I get the same color eyes as my mom, depending on what color eyes my dad had, all that, how do you explain that without an information-bearing molecule in the cell?
One earlier model or concept was similarity. Similarity is something that attracts. I'm not saying I believe that or I think that's the right way to look at it. I'm just saying that was an earlier understanding of why things that are alike somehow attract each other. So that could be some kind, it's a possibility. You can view it like that, and in some countries maybe they do it all the time. Still now. I'm just saying it's very relative if you believe that it is the genes that are carrying some information.
I don't think we have a model. I think that's their best guess, but I don't think it's right. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. I don't think we have it for genes and DNA.
Well, I mean, you have to look at the evidence. You have to yes, do some serious research.
We have done a lot of that over the last 9 years here, and we don't see. I haven't seen anything that makes it any more than speculation on the back of a napkin.
Well, Ab, you posted something on Fakeologist, and you said, "Where is all the hydrogen when water evaporates?"
No, now, I know
that is such a basic scientific mistake that obviously didn't Google evaporation.
No, I know it was a bit of a mistake. I agree. That was kind of a.
I've seen several things like that on your site. I see that quite a bit on your site. I think you need to be a little bit more diligent.
I agree. I probably do. But sometimes I put my own stuff up. Sometimes I just put stuff that I agree with. But I agree. It wasn't scientifically rigorous, that one.
Yeah.
It's okay. But I'm not trying to explain DNA either.
No, I'm not.
May I say something?
You can always talk.
I just wanted to say to you, Daniel, to Up also, to both of you, actually, about around the existence or non-existence of, that's not the point. The point is that, if DNA exists or genomics or whatever, what we can observe is there is a massive industry, which means complex institutions, much money that is running, labs that are doing stuff with much glass and refrigerators and pincets and instruments and whatever. And I see it, I watch it in my real life. I can go next year, there is a big hospital and they have some labs and they are doing stuff all the time. I mean, there is something being done upon this theory, which is applied mathematics and experimental biology. The problem is, I don't believe that that's possible what they are trying to do. I don't believe that if you dissect a dog unto the smallest particle of the cell, it will still be a dog and it will be alive. It will not. It just will not be life anymore. So there is a difference between material forms and life forms. And they are trying to put all together and to say, oh no, there is no life, there is no whatever, other cultures would call it religions or soul or metaphysics or blah blah. That doesn't make any difference. The difference is between life and non-life. And even if they have this massive big industry, it is not convincing, because if they could really create life, they would have done it. They wouldn't need any women or uteruses here, placentas there.
They're not claiming to create life. No one in the world is claiming to create life.
Well, they are. They are claiming to have hacked the code of life, or this genomics.
The code of life, that's not life itself.
The code of life is life, that's the source. If you claim you have the code of life, you have life. You can do it, you are the boss. You can create it, only God can create it. I don't know any guy who creates it.
Hang on, if I make modifications to the software on my computer, it doesn't mean I've created a computer. It means I've changed the computer. All they're doing is they're manipulating and modifying what is already living. They're not claiming to have created life. No one has made that claim.
All they are creating with this spooky industry is they are creating life forms which have an end. A very fast end. They are creating plants that are not able to reproduce themselves, which are sterile, which you need to buy every year the seeds from the same,
But that's not creating life. That has no relevance to your point you're trying to make.
But it has a relevance to the point that they are making. If they are talking about they have hacked the code of life, they are saying we can kill you all, we can end life anytime, but they pretend to be the creators of it. That's a big betrayal, scientific betrayal.
I've never come across anybody in my whole life anywhere who claims to have created life.
Bill Gates? Do you want to see
a... When did Bill Gates claim to create life?
Ben Goetzel himself, the creator of the Hanson Robotics, or whatever, all these guys, Kurzweil, they are all
fanatics. Oh, you're talking about robotics. Are you talking about robotics or DNA?
You know, DNA doesn't work without robotics, and robotics doesn't work without the theory of DNA, because blockchain is DNA. It's a print. It's a code. That's nothing else what they are trying to apply. They would like to have everything numerical.
So if I isolate a chemical from a cell, and the chemical is a sequence of molecules that have a certain sequence to them that can be considered information, and I insert that chemical into another cell and it alters the second cell, what do you think is going on there?
Dirt.
What?
It's dirt, because, you know, that's the trick. I will come back, because I couldn't you know, articulate it well enough. If you take a small piece of material, of organic material, whatever, a cell from a human being, okay, and you are observing that there are aminosites, or what is it called, proteins, and a nucleotic, blah, 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 nucleotides, and I don't know the names of this stuff, you know, you observe these things, you name them, you observe them, you experiment with this stuff. Does this mean that this is all to the cell, or is there always a rest which you cannot observe, not experiment with, and
yes,
not...
Yes, there is, and I'll jump in here, because yeah. apart from yeah. DNA, right, DNA defines the structure of cells, but it's unknown what defines the morphology of an organ, for example, right? So the actual shape of an organ...
You are very close, in my understanding.
individual cell, but not for the shape of the organ. So they are unknown, but you have to distinguish between the two.
No, the question is, are the unknowns more important than the knowns? And if you decide that the knowns, the aminosites, nucleotides, blah, 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 are more important than the unknowns, then you are destructive. You are destroying the form of life in order to control it. That's the same pattern that is that we are observing with what these guys are doing the last 500 years. Where has he gone? Oh, he dropped out. You still there?
Yeah, I'm listening. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I just don't buy into DNA, and, I don't think they've proven their case. I think it's just digital, biological identification, that's all. When computers started analyzing blood, they could make note of many more data points, and it was easier to double check blood.
Yeah.
I really don't think they can scrape your saliva and identify you to your blood. I just don't buy that. Do you?
I don't know about that. I never thought about that. But I'm more...
Are you kidding? They said in the 80s, after DNA was invented, they solved crimes by just your saliva. And then they say, oh, we found your bodily fluids in this woman, and then it matches your saliva. I mean, I think that's wrong.
Okay, you don't think that works. Okay, I don't know. I have never, you know, worked on that. I'm viewing it more, you know, from a philosophical point of view, trying to understand what they are, where is the betrayal of this extremistic science, terroristic science that they are, you know, propagating in the last 100 years. And it's more, you know, just prioritizing to exploit human beings and doing everything that it takes, you know, for that. So, I'm not really, I always don't think it's just, you know, a coincidence that they are using all these abstract languages, because, you know, in other cultures you could speak with your cells in the morning and you could tell them, hello cells, wake up, today we have to do some work, and it functions, and if you feel positive you are living a better life and you are healthier, you know. So one could say human language is the language of life. And now they are destroying human language in order to apply mathematics. And I think that's the betrayal, because life is not mathematics.
Yeah.
Are you okay, Up? You sound a little bit down.
No, I'm just reading something. Sorry.
Okay, no problem.
I'm just reading. So I'm multitasking.
Yes, I know, you're a woman.
Very.
Women are multitasking.
No, I know. You're making some good points, though. It's good. Hopefully this all records properly, and then I'll post it up.
Oh, I forgot that you are recording. Up, I have to go because I'm going to watch a live from Greece soon. I think it started already. And we will meet again.
Thanks for coming by, Faye. Nice to talk to
you. Be well, yeah. Nice to talk to you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Hey, by the way.
That's all, folks.